everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and...
Raylene. Forest Raylene this time.
Forest Raylene. Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about the forest in this episode.
Big time.
I wish we could call it the forest episode, but neither of us are in the forest.
Yeah, oh, that would be cool.
Hey, that's yeah, that idea. Would be cool. Okay? That would be cool. So we are going to be talking about the forest a lot because we have some fun stuff to talk, especially Raylene. Raylene's the real forest girl here. But we have lots of fun stuff today. The last time we recorded, okay, Raylene, I had been in the UK for, I think, 2 days.
Yes.
And I think I hauled 2 books.
Yeah, you've been there for an extra week now.
Now it's been another week. And I have 7 books to haul. So... it's all lining up beautifully.
I love the way this always happens.
Super reasonable, I think. So I'm very excited to shift into the haul bit. That will be fun to discuss.
Let's do it. I'm so excited to hear what you got. Because there was one day, like, for context, I was camping all weekend. But there was one little area where you could get Wi-Fi. And one of my friends didn't want to lose her Duolingo streak. So we walked down to the Wi-Fi area. And so I had a few moments to check my texts, and there were so many pictures from Ariel of like, look what book I saw. Look at this other cool book. So I'm really excited to see what you actually bought.
I can't fully explain this to anyone. Like, there are people out there that have book friendships, like our friendship. Mm. So those people will understand. But for everyone else, I cannot explain to you how when I'm in a bookshop, I'm sort of there with Raylene all of the time. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, yeah. I'm always walking around and I'm like, oh, Raylene would love that. Snap. Got to show her that. Oh my God, Raylene needs to see that version of this book we both read. Yeah. Or that, like, I sent you a picture of a spine. I'm like, look at what the spine of this book looks like here and everything. It's a little goofy, but...
No, it's cute.
We're cutie pies.
We're always together.
But yeah, I've been having... Before we move into our book haul and stuff, I have been having a really fun time in England. I have done so much that I'm actually like, I've forgotten everything I've ever done. I'm like, right now, if anyone sees me looking down here, it's because I'm like scrolling through my photos and I'm like, oh yeah, I did those things. Oh yeah, I did that. So one thing that I did was I went to the Barbican. So I'm staying in a region of London that's called the Barbican, and like Barbican Farringdon zone is where I'm staying. And so we've been staying here the last few times that we've come here because it's nearer Connor's work, so it's kind of convenient, which is the reason we come here. So it's convenient for him to walk to work and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I've really been enjoying exploring this part of London, because when I lived here a long time ago, and I know we'll get questions about this, so I should just go into detail a little bit. A very long time ago, I studied abroad, and I studied in Birmingham, and I lived there for 5 months, and it was beautiful, wonderful, actually like one of the most joyous times of my life. Like, it was so pure and great. And during that time, I started dating someone who was British, and we dated for 4 years. And so for those 4 years, I would fly here and I would live here for 4 months, and I'd fly home and be in Canada for a few months, and then fly back here and be here for 2 months, and back and forth. So that's because I know there's going to be new people who are like, what do you mean you lived there?
Crazy.
But when I lived here, I never really explored this region very much. And so this last few years, I've been really getting to know it. And so I did a tour of the Barbican. I did an architecture tour. Quite frankly, I think this should be my new thing. I think that I'm all about architecture tours now, having only been on one. I shouldn't claim that. But I absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. And it was just like, yeah, obviously, it was just so educational. I just learned so much about the region and the zone. And it was, I just wanted to mention that. I remember I wanted to mention that just because I really encourage people to do that. Like, if you are in a place and you've got a couple of hours to kill, there is usually a tour you can do, and it adds so much context and so much, like, just like you instantly feel like you're somewhere as opposed to, I don't know where I am. You're like, I'm in London. Yeah. But now I'm like, I know about the Barbican. I know why it was built. I know what's happened to it. I know the history. I know why this part of this is like this, like that kind of stuff. So. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I really recommend it. I had a good time. The other thing I'll say is I've been having really good food. Oh my God. Mm. Like, everyone laughs at British food. Like, I feel like that's a classic dunking on the British food. It's kind of silly because they have really great food if you know what to get. Mm. And it's mainly just if you lean into pub food. Like, it's very stodgy, okay? Yeah. It's a very stodgy type of food. So they're, like, big things, and I've had some amazing ones, are a full English breakfast. So that's, like, beans, eggs, toast, roasted tomatoes, some form of a potato, mm-hmm. like, usually, unless you're vegetarian or vegan, some form of a meat. But even if you're not, you'll have, like, some sort of a loafy thing.
Yeah.
So that was delicious. We've had two Sunday roasts, which are the best.
Ooh.
Very, it's basically a turkey dinner. Like, it's, like, roast potatoes, lots of gravy, Yorkshire pudding, and then either whatever type of meat you want, or, like, a veggie loafy, mm-hmm. like, meat loafy, but veggie loafy yeah. thing. Delicious. And then the other day we had, like, a little pie moment, like, mashed potato, and I had a chicken mushroom pie, and Connor had, like, a steak pie.
Magical.
Delicious. And again, all of these are very stodgy, like, gravy, bread.
Heavy, yeah.
Heavy, for sure. But also the other thing is, like, when you go to London, you're not really just going to eat British food. You're going because it's such an international city. Mm-hmm. So there's so many great other cuisines to have. So been just really enjoying all of the food I've been having as well. It's been a really nice time. Also, on the friend front, I wanted to do a shout out to a friend of the pod, Lena. I got mm-hmm. to hang out with Lena for a few days, which is funny because she doesn't live in London anymore.
Mm.
So when I come to London, she always comes and stays in our Airbnb for a night or two. I know, it is so cute.
So she's like having a vacation sort of where she lives a little bit.
We're both having vacation. Yeah, it's so cute and so different to how it was before. But yeah, so I've been having a really fun time. It's been really good. A lot of the stories will come out as I do my book haul in a moment. But first, I want to talk about the forest. Here on the line, we've got forest specialist Raylene LeMay. Would love to hear about your foresting experiences, man.
Oh, yeah. So as I mentioned last week, my friends and I were going camping. And we obviously went and are now back. And I was kind of nervous about going because I don't historically love camping. And I've also, like, over the past few years, I haven't gone camping in probably 5 or 6 years because I was just like, you know what, I don't really like camping. I'll just stop doing it. But my friends and I were like, let's try and do a trip together. We've never, like, gone on a trip together, so it'll be fun to try. So we went camping. Luckily, I have one friend who is obsessed with planning, so I barely had to, like, plan anything or bring anything. Like, I just had to bring a sleeping bag and some clothes, basically. And then we all went grocery shopping together, and then off we went. So the place we stayed was a campsite near a beautiful lake that I have never been to before. And so on the first day we got there, you know, we got all set up and then we're like, let's go explore and see what the lake looks like and all that stuff. So we went down to the lake and we're just admiring it. And we really wanted to swim. That was something that we had decided ahead of time. Like, it would be really fun to swim. Okay. Like, I know it'll be a bit cold, but I think we should do it. It would be kind of magical to do that. The first day we got there, we put our hands in the water and we were like, oh, this is pretty cold, but I think we can manage. And there was a woman in a boat and she was like, the water's 45 degrees. I don't think you should swim. And we were like, I don't know what that means, but okay, we'll probably still swim.
I was about to say, I also don't know.
It's really cold. It's really cold.
So that was that. Was there an American on a boat? What was going on?
I don't know. I know we were like, why are you talking to us in Fahrenheit, lady? I don't know. But we just promptly kind of ignored her at that moment. But then shortly after, we saw. We decided we wanted to go rock hunting because we were like, oh, we're hanging out again soon for Beltane, our next Sabbat, and maybe we could paint rocks. So we were like, let's go find some rocks.
Beautiful.
And so we were like, we took our shoes off and started walking through the water. Realized it was actually really cold.
Okay.
But we were like, let's just keep walking. And so we kept walking until we found this beautiful big log and we decided to sit on it to warm up our feet a little bit. And then we were like, what if we just, like, laid down on this log for a little bit? And we were like, let's just do it. So we all laid down, did Shavasana on the log.
Incredible.
And we laid there for probably like 10 minutes, just enjoying the rain sprinkles on our face. So that was a really nice way to start the trip, was just by kind of becoming zen. Please.
I have a question, as you have now become the yoga master.
Yes.
I know what Shavasana is in that I've done, like, a few random yoga classes, and they always end with Shavasana, and you just like lay there.
Yeah.
What is it other than laying? Like when you're like, so we did a Shavasana. I'm like, does that mean you just laid there, or are you supposed to think about something, or is there like something else?
It can kind of be whatever you want. It's mostly about relaxing your entire body, relaxing, like thinking of it. Like sometimes in yoga practices, the instructor will be like, okay, now relax your eyelids. Now relax your jaw. And you kind of take it through the entire body of like things that you don't normally think you're activating, but you are. So that's kind of one aspect that I've just do naturally now. I'm like just fully release. But it also is just about kind of clearing your mind, I think, or if you have something that you want to think about, you can. So yeah, it was really nice. And then we wandered back and ate hot dogs over the fire. Oh, something else that was fun is I chopped wood for the first time on this trip. Ooh. I've never done that before. And it was so fun. I felt like Robin in Stardew Valley. I am the carpenter. So, yes. So that was really fun. And throughout the trip, we mostly just sat around and talked or went for hikes and walks around the forest. But something we discovered on the first day as well when we were wandering, we found this forest. The whole campsite is technically in a forest, but there were like different biomes almost of forest. Like there was different types of trees depending on what campsite you were in, which was really interesting. And there was one forest kind of between two campsites that we have, we've decided to call it the Enchanted Forest or the Enchanted Wood, because it was magical. We stepped in there just by accident, but everything was covered in moss, like the ground, all the trees. A lot of the trees were kind of knobbly and like witch-like and kind of creepy looking. And so we just kept walking, and we were trying to walk to the other side of the forest, but we kind of were like, oh, we're lost. Like, I don't know if we keep walking this way, if we'll actually get out. So we turned around and left. But the next day we came back and we did yoga in the Enchanted Wood.
Incredible.
It was so nice. We actually started that morning with yoga on the beach, but then in the afternoon we were like, we have to go do yoga in the Enchanted Wood. Yeah. And I had pre-downloaded a couple of like yoga instruction videos like as audio on my phone, and I brought my little speaker. So we had the whole setup, and it was so great. And it was raining a little bit, but we didn't care because we were so zen and so happy. And we had incense, we had little tea light candles that we brought and put on like little logs and stuff. Like we just did lots of things to make it very witchy and kind of serene. So it was a really, really nice experience just overall. We spent a lot of time being chill. I saw a lot of mushrooms. I saw fiddlehead ferns on the ground, was so cool. Like as a person who plays Stardew Valley, I was like, oh, it's a fiddlehead fern. So that was really, really fun. And I want to keep doing it now, but like I want to do it like that. Like for me, that's how I want to camp, like actually enjoy the great outdoors. Oh, one other thing I wanted to say is I am now slightly obsessed with a specific type of lichen. And I'm getting there with moss. I want to learn more about moss too. But when we were hiking and just everywhere we went, we noticed this like cool lichen that was just like hanging off of trees, and it's kind of like a pale green, kind of dangly hair-like lichen. And so every time I saw it, and it was on all the trees everywhere, and so I became obsessed with it. I was like, guys, this is so pretty, and I kept calling it hair. I was like, look at this cool hair, and I like actually braided it into my hair at one point. And then later when we were back at the campsite, my friend, who of course brought her like plants and nature of BC guidebook, we were like, find this moss or lichen, whatever it is, find it for us so we know what it is. And you'll never guess, it's called common witch's hair, which is just too perfect. So we'll insert some photos of it here because I really want you guys to see how beautiful it is, and like it really looks, it's just magical when it's on all of the trees just dangling everywhere. So yeah, I love lichen. I'm a big fan of that.
That's so cool. That reminds me, when I moved to my house, there's some big trees like all around the property and everything. And there was a lot of lichen hanging off of it. It was also hairy, but not, it doesn't sound, it sounds different from yours. Okay. Like it wasn't very long. It wasn't wispy. Okay. It's like little brushels. And I was so worried that it meant like all the trees around me were dying. Ooh. Like, because lichen can kind of look like decay. Like, like maybe, I don't know, maybe mushrooms got to this tree and it's dead now or something. And so I like looked it up and found out what it was. And I think it's called grandfather's beard or something like that. And it doesn't mean that the trees are dying at all. It means that the air quality is like insanely good, because that kind of lichen can only thrive in a really clean air environment.
Oh, interesting.
And so actually, like, I learned that, like, the air quality around my house is really good, which was
awesome.
A random cool thing that the woods taught me.
Yeah, no, that's great. I do want to learn more about lichen, because, like, what we just read a little bit about it, and the specific type of lichen that we found just, like, springs from nothing. Like, it just comes out of nowhere, kind of. And I'm like, oh, I don't understand how that works. But, like, it doesn't have, like, a base stem or something like that. Like, it kind of just is a bunch of wisps that kind of just form out of each other or something. I don't know lot about it, but I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued by all of that. And this trip made me really appreciate where I live, which I think is cool.
Oh,
it made me really love BC, because I was like, this place is so lush and so like rich and moist. Like, I really appreciate living in a place that's green almost all the time and not like brown and dead and deserty. Like, I don't like that vibe, but I'm like, oh, BC is so nice. And the mountains had snow on them, and there was fog around the trees, and like, it's just perfect. I just love it.
It is perfect. The photos you sent me, I was just like, this is like from a movie. Like, BC really is.
Right? I'll definitely share some photos on the Instagram.
Probably the prettiest place on the planet.
It really is. We say that, like, my friend Julia says that all the time. She's like, we live in the most beautiful place. Like, we can't take that for granted. It is so beautiful here.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, I have a lot of questions.
Please.
I mean, there's only one that I think the people need to answer. Mm. How was the dirty feet conundrum?
Well, I was thinking about that the entire time. And you know what? I just kind of, I think what it is that I've never gone camping in a time that isn't the hot, hot summer. And so I think that that plays a part a lot, because you're taking your shoes. You basically don't have shoes on the entire time. You're kind of wearing flip-flops. Right. You're going swimming. This was much different, because I was wearing boots the entire time, except for when we walked into water and then, like, kind of cleaned our feet off, or like if we were doing yoga, which I was on a yoga mat. So my feet didn't really get dirty, but it's mostly because I just never took my socks off. I also kind of just wore the same outfit the entire time we were there. Like, didn't get into pajamas. Like, I felt gross in other ways. Like, I felt like just a dirty person, but it was only two nights, so I was like, it'll be fine. But yeah, no, my feet never once felt like the problem, which was nice. It was refreshing.
Okay, that's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Number two question. Do you feel like you now like camping? Do you feel like you now love camping? Or do you feel like you want to just try again? Like, you enjoyed it enough that you want to try it again, but you're not ready to commit to liking or loving camping?
I think I'm probably the third one. Like, I definitely want to try again, and I think I like it. But I only, like, I would never, I don't think I would ever go camping for more than two nights. Like, I don't think I could ever like it enough to, like, want to be out there for that long. Just because I like to say I'm an indoor cat who likes to go outside sometimes. But I'm mostly an indoor cat. Like, I don't need to be outside. Like, I don't have that pull to be outside as much as some people do. But I did love going when we did, I would say. I don't think I ever want to camp in the summer again. I think that's kind of what it boils
down
to. That
feels like an interesting lesson, actually. Yeah, that's like, fascinating.
Like, I would rather camp now, like in April, May, or in like September, October, I think.
Yeah.
Because the other thing was, there are lots of fire bans in BC because of how hot and dry it gets during the summer. So during the summer, you can't have a campfire. So that takes away some of the joy of camping, because, like, we spent a lot of time roasting marshmallows and veggie dogs over a fire. And you can't do that if there's a fire ban.
It's
and
true.
It just takes away so much of what I like about camping, which is that,
you
know, we're all huddled around a fire trying to stay warm. So I actually really liked the aspect of it being rainy and cold a little bit. It was, like, way better than just being sweaty and hot and, like, not wanting to do anything, you know? Like, I would never go for a hike, I don't think, in the heat of summer. I don't think that would be fun. Mm. But we were wanting to move around constantly because we were cold. So it was... Yeah, I think that's the lesson. I think I love spring or non-summer camping, but yeah, I definitely want to try again. And we're thinking about maybe going, like, in the fall, so we'll see.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, my final question for you about your camping trip is, did you all sleep in one tent or were you in separate tents?
That is a good question, because my super prepared friend was like, I have a slight cold, so do you guys want me to sleep in a separate tent? Or, like, what's going on? We were like, it's fine, Rebecca. We'll be okay. And so we all slept in her 8-man tent, which I would say realistically would fit four people. You know how tents are. So it was like cozy, but we were all, you know, we all had our own little space, and it was good. So yeah, we were all in one tent, although I don't have like a blow up single air mattress. All I have is a queen size. But last time I used the queen size mattress, it deflated a lot. So I didn't want to bring it because I was scared that it would just be deflated. So I was like, let's not do that. So Rebecca brought her blow-up mattress. Me and Julia both slept on yoga mats, which I do not recommend. Let me just tell you, my body is very sore from this camping trip. So I've learned my lesson in that way. But yeah, it was fine. It was totally fine for us to all squeeze into one
tent. So what did you guys talk about as you were falling asleep?
We talked about so many stupid things. Like one question Julia asked was, if we were boys, how do you think we would dress? And like, we would like play the alphabet game in different ways. Like, you know, where you just like have some kind of topic and then you go through A to Z where it's like, everybody name a country starting with A and then starting with B. We would just do stuff like that because I used to do that when I was a kid and camping and stuff. And I always found that fun. We talked about like what animals we felt connected to and stuff. Like, we talked about everything.
I love it.
Everything and anything, basically.
That's so good. The last time I went camping with like two girlfriends and we all were in one tent, we heard scary noises partway through the night. And I was like, I need to entertain them. They're scared. And so I just, I was scared too. I was like, I need to talk. And I just told them the entire plot of the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy.
I love that. That's good.
That's awesome. Oh, well, I'm so glad that you had so much fun camping. I can't wait to hear further, stories and explorations of you and Lycan. That's going to be good. But this is a perfect transition into my book haul because I have a forest book I want to talk to you about. Okie dokie, Raylene. It's time for the haul of your dreams.
I'm so excited.
This first book that I got, I was so excited about, and now I'm like double excited because I feel like you might be excited about it.
Okay.
Because I had forgotten you were going camping this weekend when I was buying this. So anyways, I'll just tell you what it is. It's called Walking in the Woods by Professor Yoshifumi Miyazaki. And the subtitle is Go Back to Nature with the Japanese Way of Shinrin Yoku, which means forest bathing.
Now I feel like I need to get that book before the next time I go camping.
Exactly.
The girls would love that.
I had a little bit of a forest moment myself over the Easter weekend. So this was almost a month ago now.
Okay.
There are some woods near my house. And I hadn't gone there in a really long time. And we had friends over and we were like, let's go for a walk. And me and my brother were like, what if we went to those woods? Like, they were so beautiful the last time we were there, and it was like a year ago that we'd gone. But they were also very similar. Maybe it's like not just the woods that we love, it's moss, because these woods are similarly very mossy.
It's
like
a good
just
vibe.
Like so dreamy. And literally for days afterwards, Ray, I was like dreaming about this forest. Like, I caught myself daydreaming about the woods because it was just so pretty. And I was just like, why don't I go there more? It's so, it's like a 10-minute walk from my house. Like, what am I doing not just going there?
Seriously.
And then I saw this book at the Barbican bookshop because they had like a whole table about like the woods and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, this seems really cool. I have to read you the very first page. Introduction. In Japan, there is a notable preventative medicine that is being practiced by increasing numbers of the population. Although it was born out of intuition, this medicine is now being supported by a growing body of scientific research, which endorses its many benefits. The word Shinrin Yoku was coined in 1982 by Tomohide Akiyama, director of the Japanese Forestry Agency. It can be translated literally as forest bathing, and is used in a similar way to sunbathing and sea bathing. You don't literally take a bath, but you do bathe in the environment of the forest using all your senses to experience nature up close. Simply put, Shinrin Yoku is the practice of walking slowly through the woods in no hurry for a morning, an afternoon, or a day. When the phrase was first coined, the idea was more of a marketing exercise to attract people to the many beautiful forests of Japan. But since then, myself and a number of other scientists in Japan and other countries around the world have begun to study the physiological and psychological effects of nature, and specifically forests, on human health and well-being.
Holy hell.
I read that in the shop and I was like, I just want to sit down and read this entire thing cover to cover.
You know what that just made me want to do? That made me want to buy three copies of that book so me and my two friends can all have it.
Yes,
and now you too.
This
like
would
we
be
can
such
all
a...
have it. I think we all need that book.
I think we all need this book. So I saw this and I was like so excited. And then like I bought it and then 3 days later, I texted you a bunch of other photos of a different bookshop and you were like, I'm in my one Wi-Fi zone. I've got to go now. Bye. And I was like, oh my God, you are camping right now. This is going to be the perfect book. I was so excited for to tell you about it.
It's amazing.
It just looks really, really beautiful. It's also quite short with lots of spacing and lots of, because I just read it recently, like the layout reminds me of the life-changing magic of tidying up. Like there's little segments and like little paragraphs and little it looks very easy to read.
Okay. I love that.
But there's also graphs and stuff because he does go into the science of how good it is for you to be in the woods. So I really want to read that soon and report back to all of you about how it goes.
Yeah, I think we're forest people, you know, I think we need to
maybe
we're
forest people all along.
You should wear a long green dress and then go into the forest. Yeah. I think that would be really cool.
You're right. And braid, what was it? Witches, common witch hair?
Common witch's hair? Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's anywhere other than BC, actually. I haven't researched it enough, but if you can find it, it's worth it.
Ship me some.
Yeah.
Ship me some.
I actually said out loud to the girls, I was like, I think I want to dye my hair this color because I was like, yes. I was that obsessed with it. So we'll
see. Is it like a light sagey green?
It's kind of like, I would say almost leaning towards mint or like a, like a sagey mint, I guess. Like it's not super minty, but it is like a very pale green.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Totally. It's just the best color.
Okay. The next book that I got, I was like, I don't know how many bookshops I've been to in the last week, like 6 or something. And every single time I walk into one, I go and I try and find this book because somebody, and now I've forgotten their name, I'm sorry. I'll find it if and when I read this. They recommended it to me. It was the same person that is making me read the I Am Lucy Barton book.
Oh, interesting.
You know the one that I'm reading on my, was that what it was called?
Yeah. My Name is Lucy Barton. Yeah.
Yes, that book was recommended to me by a patron on the Discord. They also recommended this book and I looked it up and I was like, that sounds unbelievable. And I really liked their cover of it. And at every shop I went to, I looked for it and they didn't have it. And then finally in one bookshop they had it and I was like, I am buying you. And it is Migrations by Charlotte McConaughey. Have you seen this cover
before? No, I don't think I've ever seen that before.
I know, it's really pretty. It's like a really beautiful watercolor illustration of a bird. Mm-hmm. So this is about a character named Franny Stone, who is going to the Arctic, to Antarctica, to see the last of the Arctic terns on what is probably their final migration. So this is like, it's about the climate, it's about climate change, the climate crisis, environmental impact on animals, but it is a fiction, it's a novel. Mm-hmm. She's on one of the few remaining boats heading south. Like this is like the last time humans will ever get to see these birds because they're about to go extinct. And it says she and the eccentric crew travel further from shore in safety. The dark secrets of Fanny's life begin to unspool. So I think it sounds so interesting, peaceful, calm, fascinating, like on a boat. Little crew,
yeah,
trying to see some birds. I'm like, that does really sound perfect. okay, you're gonna be excited about this next one, Raylene. I'm actually like, I thought about buying you this one, but I knew when I was coming, I was gonna buy you this one book. Like I told you guys last week, I bought Raylene this book because I had it on my list. I've already bought you a second book. I'm like, I cannot fill my suitcase with books for Raylene. That's insane. So I didn't buy you this one, so I'm just gonna tell you about it and you can buy it yourself.
Okay.
It's called Headshot by Rita Bullwinkle.
Sports.
Look at how beautiful it is.
Oh, that's
first of
a
all.
Really good cover. Wow.
Yeah, like obsessed with everything going on here. It sounds so cool. Okay. Headshot is the story of the 8 best teenage girl boxers in the U.S. told over the 2 days of a championship tournament and structured as a series of face-offs. As the girls' pasts and futures collide, the specific joy and violence of the sport comes to life with electric energy, and a portrait emerges of the desire, envy, perfectionism, madness, and sheer physical pleasure that motivates each of these young women to fight.
Oh, yes. I want that so badly.
It sounds so good. good.
Oh my gosh. Whoa. You always find also, the coolest books in the UK. You should just stay there. Like, you should go there all the time and just find me books.
I know. It's good for the podcast. Yeah. You know? Good for the reading. So, like, when you go to the first page, right, it's like the 12th annual Women's 18 and Under Daughters of America Cup. So it's like structured like a pamphlet, like at the beginning of a tournament. And then the first page is like the bracket of all the girls who have to compete to win. And I'm just like,
it's too cool. Sign me up.
It's too cool. I'm obsessed. I was so excited when I found it. I just knew, like, I saw a book called Headshot with this, like, cool, like, sporty cover. I was like, it's mine. It's going to be perfect. Yeah,
there's no doubt.
No doubt. Okay, so next up I got two classics. We'll start with this one. I got George Orwell Essays.
Ooh, that's a cool cover.
I know.
I've never seen that.
So this is part of this Penguin Great Orwell series. And I have, I think, every other one. I might not have the Animal Farm that goes with this edition, but it's because I've got so many other Animal Farms. But I have almost every other one of this collection on my shelves. And I didn't have the Essays one. And I didn't particularly need it. But I was in a bookshop. And actually, that's a lie. I was in a cafe. And I was reading one of George Orwell's essays about his ideal pub.
Ooh. It's cool essays,
as you know, he's got a lot of opinions, this guy. Mm-hmm. I was reading about his ideal pub, and we had just read the essay on his ideal tea. I'd read that, well, part of it to you guys out loud last week. And I was like, I'm in such a reading Orwell mood. And I was like annoyed that I didn't have one on me. Yeah. And then we went to a bookshop and I went to the Orwell section. And I was like, well, I don't have this. And then I could read some. And I have. I've read one of the essays. He's just so good, man. He's just so good. So anyways, love this. What was also funny was I bought this one at the Waterstones at Gower Street, which a long time ago, I made a video called like my favorite bookshops in London. That's still up if you ever, they haven't really changed. Like those are still my favorites. There's a couple new ones I'd add, but they're basically my favorites. And I show it off in there. And it's a beautiful giant bookshop. I really recommend it to people who are coming to London. It's got some gorgeous little nooks and crannies to sit in. It's just a beautiful old building. And so I walk up the stairs to the second floor where I know like fiction is.
Yeah.
Okay, here in England, really, this is controversial. In England, I want to know what you think about this. We're on a tangent now.
Yeah.
I want to know what you think about this. In England, when you walk into a building, that's floor zero.
Yeah.
Then when you go up a flight of stairs, you are on floor one. Whereas in Canada, when you walk into a building on the ground floor, you're on floor one.
It's the first
floor. If you take a flight of stairs up, you're on the second floor.
Yeah.
So they start on zero, one, two, three. We used to go, what do you think about that?
I think that's crazy. It could just be because we're from Canada, so we're used to this system. But I do think that our system makes more sense because you are literally on the first floor, like, there is no such thing as a zero floor. Like that would be something that doesn't exist. Right? And going up to floor one, that's so weird. Like to me, zero would be basement, if anything. Like zero would be, and that's, I would even call that negative one. Like there is no zero.
Yes.
Like to me, that just doesn't make any sense. That's like some liminal in between.
Connor likes it. He was saying something about coding. He was like, it makes perfect sense. It's like coding. And I was like, I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
I find it really like odd. It's like, it's up on the first floor. And I'm like, we're on the first floor, you loons. I don't really understand. But anyway, so I went up to what for me is the second floor, for them is the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
And as I like round these beautiful old stairs and I'm like getting up there, actually this was onto the third floor or whatever. I emerge to a till, like a big, like a desk with the cashiers and everything. And this girl just looks me in the face and goes, Ariel Bassett.
She was waiting for you.
Knew I was coming. Like it was a cue. Like it felt really like she had been waiting for me but she just goes, Ariel Bassett. And I was like, you found me, which is what I always say whenever anyone recognizes me. I'm like, you found me. Here I am.
Oh, that's good.
It was so sweet. She was really, really nice. Her name was Sarah. She was so friendly. And she was saying, she was like, She's like, Ariel Bissette. And I was like, you follow me? And she said, I have been watching you since 2012. And I was like, holy shit. It was wild. It was so fun. So anyway, she was really, really friendly. I had just gotten my period that day. And I was really like confused, disoriented, and in a lot of pain. And like, I was not high energy. And so afterwards, I was like, Connor, was I nice to her? Like, and he was like, yeah, it was like normal. And I was like, really? I feel like I wasn't as nice as I usually am. And he was like, no, you gave her a hug. You told her things. Like, you asked her lots of questions.
You're nicer than usual.
maybe I overcompensated. Anyways, I brought that up because as I was walking past her, I was like, look what I'm holding. And Sarah just burst out laughing.
Yeah.
Because of course,
she gets it.
You see Ariel in a bookshop and Ariel's holding it. Orwell.
That's hilarious. Classic. Love that. Okay. Beautiful connection.
The other classic that I picked up is Metamorphosis by Franz Kafka.
That's a really sweet cover.
I know. So these, friend of the pod, Coralie Bickford Smith, who illustrated some of our bookmarks 2 years ago now. Can you believe time flies? Yeah, she does the iconic Penguin classic hardcover cloth bounds. And they have just released really like, I want to say two dozen, maybe three dozen of these minis. They're like tiny little books.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're really, really cool. Okay. And there's an F. Scott Fitzgerald one of like a tiny little, anyways, there's a lot of really,
I'll have
really
to look
cool
into that.
Ones.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. You can look into that because I haven't bought you any of these. So
okay,
that
cool.
is sanctioned.
Yeah, I don't know what's prohibited, but thank you for letting me know.
You're allowed to buy any of these that you would like. But the reason that I wanted to buy this is because this is the next book club book for my new little book club, friend book club. So I got it. I have already read Metamorphosis, but I didn't own a copy. I actually did own a copy a really long time ago, but I didn't like it. I was gifted it for free, and so I didn't feel any responsibility to keep it. Like, I remember I hauled it, and then so they got their promo, and I was like, actually, I don't like this anymore. And I donated it a long time ago, so now I have this really pretty one. So that's my haul. There are two more books that I want to haul, but I've already read them. So they're also the books that I've read. So let's transition over and talk about what we've actually accomplished. All right, I just did a bunch of chatting with my book hauling. So how about we transition to you? You tell us what you've read, because I think you finished something.
Yes, I did. Just last night, I had about an hour and a half left on the audiobook of They're There by Tommy Orange. So I finished that. Tommy Orange was born in Oakland, California in 1982. His debut novel, They're There, is set in Oakland and follows a large cast of characters whose lives interconnect in various ways. The novel mainly focuses on showcasing different indigenous experiences, including questions about identity, family, depression, and alcoholism, among other things. They're There was nominated for the 2019 Pulitzer Prize for Fiction and won the 2019 American Book Award. This was a reread for me. As the people may remember, I have read this one already, and I wanted to read this in anticipation for reading his new book. And I also have started that, so I'll talk about that in a second. But so this reread was perfect. Like, it was just as good as the first time. I still don't consider this to be like a 5-star book for me, but it's close. Like, it's up there, and it is a book that I think about a lot and will recommend to everyone. I still hold firm that I think everyone should read this book. I feel like it's... It tackles lots of tough subject matter, but it's also very easy to read because Tommy Orange's writing is just so like clear and focused and just so good. But what I really kind of noticed more this second time around was that there's lots of different writing styles throughout the different kind of, I'll call them stories. It is a novel, but it kind of feels like a bunch of short stories because each one follows a different character. Some of them are told in third person, some first, and some are actually told in second person, or maybe just one of them was. So it's very interesting. And the book starts out with a nonfiction essay that kind of like sets the scene. So you kind of have a little bit of information about, you know, what's going on before you really jump in. And I really, really enjoyed it the second time around, like I said. So cool. I do highly recommend it. I do highly recommend the audiobook. The audiobook made it such a good reread because it was a different experience, but also you've got lots of different characters voiced by different voice actors. And it's just very good. It's very solid. I love it. And I want everyone to read it. So that's
really cool. So how immediately are you going to move into Wandering Stars?
Well, I actually started it this morning. I'm like, woo! Yeah, I'm maybe like 12 pages in or something. But what I'm finding cool about like reading them back to back is I've also noticed that in there, it's obviously it's a modern book. It's all about Indigenous people who live in Oakland. So they live in the city,
right,
and kind of have to deal with people still believing that they're real kind of thing, because a lot of people just think, oh, well, those people are from a long time ago. They don't exist anymore. That's something he talks about in the book. And Wandering Stars is about like the 1800s. It's very historical and kind of takes you back. Exactly. So it's cool to read them back to back because they are like about the same thing, but in a very different kind of, with a different spotlight, I guess. So.
That's very cool. I thought it was like a direct sequel.
I wasn't really sure much about it, but now that I've started it, I'm like, oh, this is very interesting. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. I literally just started it like very shortly before we started recording, so I don't have much to say, but cool. I'm intrigued by it so far.
That's so cool. Yeah. Okay, sweet. Well, I have read two books this week, and they were both new books. So I want to start, I guess I'll go in order. The first one I read was So Late in the Day by Claire Keegan. Claire Keegan was shortlisted for the Booker Prize in 2022. She was brought up on a farm in Ireland, and at the age of 17, she traveled to New Orleans, where she studied English and political science at Loyola University. She returned to Ireland in 92, and her highly acclaimed first volume of short stories, Antarctica, was published in 1999. Her novel, Small Things Like These, was shortlisted for the 2022 Rathbones Folio Prize. It won the Carey Group Irish Novel of the Year Award and the Orwell Prize for Political Fiction, and was shortlisted for the Booker. I have heard a lot about this author.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's a lot. I didn't know anything about Claire Keegan, but I had heard a lot about her books.
Yeah.
I had heard a lot of people talking about Small Things Like These, and yes, like I've seen that cover everywhere. This book, so pretty. Mm-hmm. This was also at the Barbican. This was at, like, after I did the architecture tour, I was like so in love with the Barbican. I was like, I'm gonna go to the gift shop. Very strategically, the architecture tour ends at the gift shop. And then I was like, oh, I'm in such a happy mood. I'm gonna buy all sorts of things. And this was, they have like a great bookshop. There's a whole bookshop. It's mainly a bookshop. Mm-hmm. And then also like there's a gift element. But I saw this and I was so obsessed with the like beautiful artwork and the look of the end pages. Ooh, is just so stunning. Cool. So anyways, I loved what it looked like and I liked how little it was. I was like, this is really cool. At the end, was it at the very end? Yes, she says, acknowledgement, the author would like to thank her French publisher, Savine Wespizer, who first published this text as a standalone story under the title Misogynie, but in French. But it's, I believe, pronounced the exact same. Okay. I don't know what to say, Raylene. I read this on a train trip. I went to Cambridge and I came back from Cambridge and I read part of it on the way there and I finished it on the way back. It's very short. It's like, is it even 60 pages? I don't think that it's 47 pages.
Ooh,
like it's
okay.
And it's already a very short little book. Yeah. It's a short story, really. Calling it a book feels like pushing it, in my opinion, but okay. I liked it, but I definitely didn't like love it. And I don't think I'd recommend it.
It's too bad.
Here's something controversial, okay? This is controversial. I literally thought to myself, if I don't have room in my suitcase at the end of all this, I would abandon this book. So that's a clue. That means something.
Yeah.
So basically, it's about this guy who has clearly just gone through a really big breakup. And it kind of like goes back in time to see him and his partner and then back to the future. And you see him like in his sad, lonely apartment, and then back to the past when he's with his partner. Okay. and back and forth. And so you're seeing like their relationship fall apart. But it is very short, obviously, so there isn't that much time to get much done. And because it was so small and everything, it did really feel like almost like a painting. Like it was like this glimpse at this moment in time of this guy just like going over the breakup in his mind and like, why did it all fall apart? I would say that it was like really great, really well written. I definitely want to check out Small Things Like These.
Me too.
Because I think it sounds really cool. And I think that with more time and it's like just there'd be more meat there for me to grab onto. Totally. Whereas right here, there was like very little to to
chew on.
To chew on. It was a very small little bite. But yeah, like, I don't know. I just felt like it was really difficult to judge it because there was so little there. Mm-hmm. 47 pages is not that much, especially when there's not like a big plot. Like if there was like a big story told over 47 pages, you'd be like, oh, that was really fun or really interesting. But because it's just like a little tiny character portrayal, I'm like, I think it was really good. But will I think about it again?
Right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So mixed review on that one. But okay. love the packaging of it. They got me good. Okay. The other thing that I read, oh my God, is The Moomins and the Great Flood. Tove Jansson was born in Helsinki, Finland in 1914. Her first illustration was published when she was 15, and after attending art school in Stockholm and Paris, she returned to Helsinki where she worked as a painter, muralist, and as a writer and illustrator of children's and adult books. She's most well known as the creator of the Moomin Family Comics. This book was published during the last few months of World War II and is the first book to star the Moomins. It was published in 1945. This was fascinating.
Yeah.
I am obsessed with this book. It was so unbelievably cute. If I had a child, they would be a Moomins fan. Like,
oh, yeah.
I would read them the Moomins books. Did you read the Moomins books growing up?
No, like, I didn't know about
me
them
neither.
Until I worked in a bookstore.
Yeah, me neither.
I had never heard of them.
I don't think that they're a huge thing in Canada. I'm sure there's Canadians who have read them, of course. But, like, I don't think that they're huge in the way that they are in Europe and elsewhere.
Yeah.
And because we read The True Deceiver, I almost said True Deception. by Ms. Tove Jansson, I really wanted to check out Moomins. I was like, I want to give that a shot. That's her big thing. And I have now as an adult heard about Moomins. And they're so cute, those little guys, you know? So I was like, I want to give this a shot. So I looked it up and this was the first one. I was on a walk through London with Lena, aforementioned. We were hanging out and we were walking through Camden Market. Covent Garden, that's where we are. And I saw this little Moomin shop. And I was like, I want to go in there. And Lena was like, it's pretty cute, let's go. And so we go in and it's this adorable little shop all about the Moomins.
Amazing.
Moomin everything, Moomin mugs,
Moominland.
Moomin towels, Moomin everything. And I was like, this is incredible. And I didn't feel like I could buy anything because I had never read a Moomin book. I was like, that would be a fake.
Yeah.
I'd be a fake fan if I started buying Moomin merch without having read a Moomin book. And so I was like, I hope they have the books here because that would be a really fun place to buy a Moomin book at the Moomin shop.
Yeah, totally.
And so I did. They had it. And so looking this up, like here I was reading on Wikipedia, it says, this is interesting. On the Wikipedia page for the Moomins and the Great Flood, it says that the Great Flood book, the one I read, is the first book to star the Moomins, but it is often seen as a prelude to the main Moomin books, as most of the main characters are introduced in the next book.
Oh.
So, I have read the first book that was ever published about the Moomins.
Yeah.
But I guess the most popular one is the second book. So maybe this is kind of like a Chronicles of Narnia thing where like everyone thinks about The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but that's actually the third book in a series.
Second book in a series.
So maybe it's like that where like the second book in the series or the first book in the series is more popular. But
yeah,
regardless, funny. I literally felt like crying on the last page. I couldn't handle it at all. I was like, can I spoil it? Maybe I shouldn't spoil it, but it was a really, really beautiful ending. And I was like, I love the Moomin family. So basically the Moomin troll is the like little kid kind of like he's a little Moomin.
Okay.
And then his mom is called the Moomin mama.
Oh.
And they're looking for the Moomin papa. And
oh,
I'm just like,
God. That's Ariel coded right there. That is.
It's perfect. I loved it so much. I just couldn't handle it. I think that maybe the Moomin style, like what they look like, changes a little bit because of all the illustrations I've seen, they look kind of different than the ones in this book. But maybe that was for the show. I don't know. Basically, I'm on a Moomin adventure now, and I believe that there's a bind up of all of the other ones that I think would be fun to get. But yeah, I really recommend it, especially for children. Like, if you have a kid, wow, it's so exciting. They go on so much of, like, the story starts, Raylan, with them, with the Moomin mama mm-hmm. and the Moomin baby trying to find a new place to build a house. Already, I'm going to be emotional. Right?
Yeah.
They're like, we need to find, it was, let me read you this, like, it's, like, on the first page. It's just, like, Moomins hate being cold. It was just so cute. Yeah. Moomins cannot stand the cold at all, so the house would have to be ready by October at the latest. And I'm like, so true. They're like looking for a nice place in the sun to build their house, and they have to go on a huge adventure. I will also say it did lightly remind me of Roald Dahl. There was some Roald Dahl energy there. Like, at one point they run into a guy and they're like, we're looking for a sunny spot. And he's like, oh, totally. I know where you should go. You should come into my house. He's like, I've got this whole garden. And they're like, that sounds kind of cool. So they go in there, and his garden is, like, made of candy. And I'm like, come on.
What are we talking about?
This is very, very Charlie and the Chocolate Factory-esque. Mm-hmm. But I loved it. It was awesome. It was beautiful. And I'm excited to keep reading the Moomin books because it was really, really cool.
That is so awesome.
So there you go. That is what I read. It is now time for us to shift into the mail room. Okie dokie. How about you start us off, Raylene? What did you find today?
Yes. So this first one is from Brianna, who says, after some quick research, it turns out that the book that coined the term mashed potato books, this is good. I'm glad did this, was when Ariel was reading Practical Magic by Alice Hoffman in episode 2, which is funny because you haven't read that, right?
Shame on me.
Ariel had picked this up because she had been meaning to read it for a really long time, and Raylene's exact words were, I save the most mashed potatoes for the end. And Ariel proceeded to coin the term mashed potato effect. And Raylene's response, that's actually genius. So the origin of mashed potato books is actually the mashed potato effect, apparently. That's which I thought was some good Books Unbound lore that we had clearly forgotten. Yep. This next one from Inbar made me laugh as well. They said, the bought a book because of the podcast, but the reviews are in, it's not great, and I haven't read it yet, aka Kat Dennings syndrome, is hitting me hard. Hopefully I'll still enjoy Riddles of the Sphinx. And I thought that is interesting, the Kat Dennings effect, maybe we could call it, which is, we talk about a book, we're really excited about it, this person picks up the book, and then we review it and say, oops, maybe I didn't love it that much. It's kind of funny. It's like getting ahead of our recommendations, like before we recommended it. So I thought that was funny. And then
That's interesting.
Adrian has let us know that Chanel Miller has a new book that just came out. I didn't realize this. It's a middle grade book.
Yes, I saw this.
Yeah, it's called Magnolia Wu Unfolds It All. And it came out on April 23rd, I think. So like it literally just came out. And now I'm like, well, I need that because, as I've said before, I will read anything she writes. So I'm going to have to get my hands on that because she is possibly the best writer of our time. So that was really exciting, and I just wanted to shout that out. And then the last thing here was from Rachel, who said, listening to the episode, and I didn't know Raylene had watched Orphan Black. That's one of my favorite shows, too. Oh. And then Cinnamon said, I love Orphan Black so much. And so, yeah, I just wanted to give another little shout out to Orphan Black. Because for many years, I did call it my favorite show. Now I think Community is probably like just a little bit ahead because I've rewatched it more times and I think about it more often. But Orphan Black is my favorite, like, kind of long form drama series because it's sci-fi and drama and weirdness. And Tatiana Maslany, I always forget how to say her name, but she is the lead actress and she is so good because she has to play, she basically, the show's about clones. And so she plays like 12 different clones. But you forget that it's the same person playing all these people because she's that good. And so, like, I just, I really want to recommend it because I think she is incredible and it's, like, funny and dark and, like, just so cool. It's a really great show. So that's my little Orphan Black plug for the people. I really think you should watch it.
And I love that.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. And good night. Okay, but actually, I have some comments as well. Yes. So, I forgot we were going to talk about this at the top of the podcast, and I was so excited about your forest stories that we didn't actually talk about it at all. When this episode comes out, Mashed Potato May will be underway.
Full swing.
For us, it's April 29th, so that's why we haven't talked about it in this update. in this episode. Next week, we will start talking about the mashed potato fish and chips situation. But we did get this question, or you got this question, from Sarah Schaefer 2407.
Okay.
Will Raylene be doing any mashed potato hobbies?
Oh, that's a good idea. I have been saying recently that I need to go roller skating again because I haven't gone since the first of the year. So,
oh, no. Yeah.
I know it's been a few months, and so I would consider that to be my most mashed potato hobby.
Yeah, I agree.
Something else, and maybe this is embarrassing to say because I haven't made any steps toward this at all, but I really want to try making some EDM music.
Obsessed.
As I've told the people many times, I have become obsessed with EDM, electronic music over the past year. And I think that I want to try making it because I think that would be a fun activity. The problem is I don't know all what I need to do. So I have to do some research first, watch some videos, some tutorials. But that is something I'm interested in. So maybe I'll make steps towards that in May.
That would be really, really cool. What does EDM stand for?
Electronic dance music.
Dance music.
That reminds me, there's this really funny song called I Hate EDM, and it's a person, it's just like a clip of somebody saying, I hate EDM music, I hate the but they've turned it into an EDM song. Oh, it's so incredible. Funny. It's really good, highly recommend.
Okay, the next comment I pulled is from Hell Cow Off, maybe. When I was younger, oh yeah, this comment is insane, really. When I was younger, I would put apple juice in my tea. I'm sorry, Orwell. Both for sweetness and to cool it down, as my parents always seem to make it scalding hot. Do you think it's such a funny comment because her parents were just using boiling water. Like, yeah, that's what you have to use for tea. But she was like, ah, you guys always make it way too hot. It's like, no, that's what tea is.
I love that. And instead of just water, you know, apple juice.
Apple juice. Give it that little kid kick. I think that's incredible.
Cute. I love it.
She goes on to say, nowadays, I too prefer my tea unsweetened with oat milk. So she's justified. She's grown. She's really matured.
Yes.
Okay, Alice 3009 says, I'm going through a breakup right now, and listening to the podcast has really brought me comfort. Thank you so much. Aww. I just wanted to give Alice a hug. This is a virtual pod hug, a book hug from me and Raylene. I'm really glad that we can help a little bit.
Yeah,
that
seriously.
Sounds really hard. At Shania Daniel UK 3010 says, okay, this is fat. I found this really fascinating. Okay. Mm-hmm. I agree with Ariel in regards to the tracking books versus pages chat.
Ooh, okay.
However, this is, and she says brackets, this is slightly unrelated. I have started doing this thing I've called TBR loyalty card. Idea isn't mine, just the name. So Shania made up the name, but maybe not the concept, I think. She saw this on TikTok, she says. So the TBR loyalty card is 1 page read equals 1 cent, as in money.
Okay.
So I track and add up the pages I've read and convert that to a dollar amount. And only when I have enough will I go and buy a new book. So for example, a 380-page book would be $3.80.
That's so cool.
Doing this has been helping me prioritize my longer books and books I already own.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, because especially
cool.
If you're reading a 1,000-page book, it's like, that is pretty good right there.
Yeah.
That's 10 bucks or whatever.
That, I think, is like the most fun book buying ban I've ever heard of.
Right? I don't think I could do that, though. I'm too like spontaneous. Like if I'm at a thrift store and I see a book I want, I'm gonna buy it, regardless if I have saved up $3.99 or whatever. But that is a really cool concept if you have self-control.
I like it.
The problem is I don't have self-control. But yes, I love it.
I could imagine people that listen to the pod though. There's some people out there who are like, that would click into their brain.
Totally. Yeah.
Okay, and the last comment I pulled is from Martha Campbell, 6188. Ariel. I have a tea-related book recommendation for you. And this comment had a lot of thumbs up, so I felt like the people really wanted me to see it. It's a dinky little book that I stumbled across in the classics section in my library called The Book of Tea by Kakuzo Okakura. It's a nonfiction book about the history of tea and Japanese teaism written in 1906. It has some interesting chapters, including Taoism, Zenism, and flowers. I think you would really enjoy it. I'm not sure what K.O., the author, would make of biscuit tea, but there's something quirky and eccentric that comes across in his writing, so who knows, maybe he'd be on board. And I was like, that's such a cool recommendation.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would be really fun for me to check that out. And I looked it up, and there are some pretty covers of it, and it does seem really, really short.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for the rec.
Nice.
That's awesome. Beautiful. Well, everyone, we are now going to go and record our Patreon mini podcast, The Question Vase, mm-hmm. as in Q&As, where we go and answer questions that people have submitted for us. Mm-hmm. I saw some juicy ones, so I think we're going to have some fun questions.
Yes.
Thank you so much to everyone for listening. Oh my God, when we record the next episode, yes, I will be back home.
Okay.
So get ready for my, what other books will I buy?
I'm yeah, sure there's still time.
For me, there's still almost a whole week left. Uh-oh. We don't fly home till Sunday.
Oh boy.
Ah! Okay. I love you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.